You're listening to a Claresy, Matt and Kimber catch-up for ABC Blind's Stay-In Style Up Sale on Now.
Just want to play this audio again.
There's been a lot of popular people in history. Hitler, Mussolini, there's a few headlines for you. Saddam Hussein, and they've all run on a popular basis.
The Premier's on the line. I think he's talking about you, Mark McGowan. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Clive Palmer.
Good
so
morning.
Are you a dictator? What's going on, Mark?
Bloody hell. We thought you were so nice.
Well, that's the first time that's ever happened. I've never heard anyone describe Adolf Hitler or Saddam Hussein as popular, but
no.
There you go, there's a first.
I'm curious as to what category you're in if you're unpopular.
I've never met anyone who likes Adolf or Saddam, but anyway, I suppose it's a free country. You can compare whoever you want to whoever you want.
Yeah, Mark, we've been discussing how passionate, we saw it on the news last night, how passionate you were in Parliament yesterday. I don't think we've seen you quite that fired up and the veins popping in the neck about how upset you are about everyday West Australians potentially losing jobs if Clive Palmer can, you know, rape and pillage our state of $30 or $40 billion. We know that that amount is ridiculous, but yeah, you were pretty fired up.
I was. Well, because $30 billion is our entire state budget. It's $12,000 per every man, woman and child in the state. We're trying to defeat this. Obviously, we've had a few disputes with Mr. Palmer, but we are trying to defeat him on every count, whether it's borders or whether it's this claim. I mean, you know, he's certainly persistent. And so we're using the Parliament to try and prevent West Australians having to, through some bizarre situation, pay out that amount of money.
And so, Mark, what is it that we're trying to fight? Like, when you say we're trying to use Parliament to make changes, is that actually a possibility that you can get something through in time to stop him?
Yes, it is. We're trying to get the whole legislation through today. Basically blocks his action. And so his action is designed for a claim of about $30 billion. And even if he received a proportion of that, let's say, imagine he got a quarter of that, that's still...
There we go. We got you back.
Unheard of. Yeah. It's just unheard of. And, you know, the damage it would do to schools and hospitals and individual taxpayers here, it would just be outrageous.
Well, Mark, onto the COVID again, because, you know, we can't help it. West Australians have been thinking that our borders are closed and that everyone's quarantining and they've been really behind you in your actions. But the Liberal Party have come out and said that 6,600 people have been allowed to skip the 14-day quarantine period over the last 4 months, some of those being air crew from domestic flights. Is it just pure luck that WA haven't had a surge? I mean, surely those people should be in lockdown too. Is that the case?
What's happened is we've cut the number of people coming into the state by 99%. So it's down to 1% of where it was this time last year. But there are some people who are exempted. And so if you're a Commonwealth official or you're a federal parliamentarian or you're someone who's might be coming here to fix a bit of equipment that we need, for instance, cancer machines in the hospital, or you're a truck driver. I mean, these sorts of people have been exempted from the rules because we need to eat, we need to have our cancer machines work. I can't control the Commonwealth officials because under the Constitution I can't. So, you know, that's been the way it's had to work. Obviously, we've made it as absolutely tight as we possibly can. And it's reduced the risk basically by 99%, but I cannot absolutely 100% guarantee that at some point in time something might happen. And that's why, you know, that we have reduced the risk by basically 99%.
Okay. Premier, I'd like to talk to you about the ad campaign I'm seeing at the moment for the big increases in fines for using mobile phones. And certainly none of us condone that sort of behaviour, but we're looking at a big increase, like $1,000 for looking at a text. Speeding fines between 30 and 40 k's over the limit, $800, $900 for 0.15, which is quite a high reading for alcohol. Does the fine befit the crime? It's a lot of money for some people, and I know we're not encouraging people to do it.
I know what you mean, but on the other hand, too many people die on our roads and too many people are maimed, and this is nationally consistent with other states and it's sending a message not to do it. The mobile phone thing, I think there's two categories. There's the more extreme cases where, you know, someone's watching a video. That might be the fine that you're talking about. But then there's another fine, which might be a bit less than that, for someone who might check a text at the traffic lights. I know it's very tempting to look at your phone when you're at the traffic lights. I know it's very tempting to, you know, answer a call. People just have to resist because, you know, you can die.
Yeah,
and there's so many cases of this happening where innocent people are killed, or even people just doing the right thing but just happen to make a mistake and killed.
Sure.
You know, we're trying to stop it.
Lack of attention, yeah. Hey, Mark, back to COVID. One active case in our state and a lot of days down without new ones, but you just can't rest on your laurels, can you? New Zealand, 102 days without, and then four cases sprung up and they're back locked down again.
That's exactly right. So they've had a hard border arrangement. They don't know where this has come from. They don't know where the four cases have come from. They don't know how widespread it is. Obviously, they've seen what's happened in Melbourne.
Yeah.
So they've just gone into this sort of full lockdown arrangement immediately, which is a pretty big call. Because it's so debilitating. All those little businesses who are open, have people employed, then have to shut again.
Mm.
It's just so debilitating. Mm. I'm so keen for us not to get to that situation. That's why we did the hard borders as much as we humanly have been able to. But you know, there's just always risk. Until there's a vaccine, there's always risk.
Yeah, absolutely. Premier, by the way, I do have the text or the phone number of Saddam Hussein's speechwriter, if you ever feel like getting that off me.
Saddam Hussein. Yeah, he was, I've never been compared to him before.
No.
Never compared to Saddam Hussein.
There's a lot of firsts this year.
Oh, well, Clive.
Do I look like him?
Not at all. Clive ended up being cane toad in the paper today, so there you go. Hey, thanks, Mark. All the best, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Claire-Z, Matt
and Kimber. Cast your minds back, fellas. Claire-Z, 2008, was that a busy year for you?
2008.
Remember what you were up to, what you might have been doing for work?
I'd been at Mix for about six or seven years, and we'd just moved into this new building here in Rockaby Road, out of Rockaby Road and into Roberts Road in Subi, and I was doing a lot of MC work and voiceovers and stuff. Yeah,
yeah,
it was pretty,
quite busy.
Pretty flat out working for Mix. Yeah.
How about you, Maddie? You remember how busy you were in 2008? Did you have a lot going on?
2008, I just got back from London, and I was sort of being a gypsy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, not a lot of work that year or?
Oh, bits and pieces. I couldn't tell you what they were.
I think I might know why you might not have been working that much.
Oh, really?
Why?
I have found an RGM Voices CD in the office.
Yes. Now, that's my agent.
For people who don't know, these are released with actors doing reads on them so that producers can decide which talent they want for their ads and such.
Yeah,
sure.
Right? And this CD has some huge talent on there. There's names like Hugh Sheridan.
Hugh Sheridan.
Right now at Woolworths, we're rolling back the prices on over 900 of your favourite products across the store.
That's a poor read.
There's Samuel Johnson.
Oh, he's good.
Samuel Johnson.
This program brought to you by Fantastic Extra Saucy Noodles. For those who like their noodles, extra saucy.
Ooh.
Get a real taste of it. And then there's this guy.
Matt Dutinsky.
If an egg card can save you £494, someone else is charging you £494 too much. If you don't look after your money, who will? Apply now online at egg.com.
Why are you flirting so hard?
Have two free calls on us.
You are flirting.
If you run out of credit but you need to make a call, Orange pay-as-you-go customers get two free calls every time they run out of credit, just in case.
That was the most flirty, like you're selling a card.
I know. And that was my London voice because I did that demo in London.
You've just come back from the UK by the sound of you.
Yes, yes.
You're still there.
And I went from that to, hi, I'm Josh in Kmart.
Yeah, because you don't sound like Beckenham. No. You sound like London.
It felt like you were trying to undress us with your voice.
That's what I'm trying to do every morning between 6 and 9.
I think on a couple of those you could have got a job at 6 on B, mate.
But what I love about it too is that you were very versatile.
Mm.
The CD shows that you offer quite a few.
Is there more, is there?
Well, because you also do accents.
Oh, okay.
Virgin Megastores brings you Gwen Stefani's new album, Love, Angel, Music, Baby. Including production by Dr. Dre, The Neptunes, Outkast, Andre 3000, Gwen Stefani at Virgin Megastores now.
Oh, totally gnarly, man.
Thinking?
What accent was that, do you think? It was sort of a bit American, a bit UK.
No. It's Newcastle on the East Coast.
That's very, I've just gotten to California.
God, what was I thinking?
I mean, look, no, it got better. You also did an accent where I'm pretty sure you were channeling your dad.
Oh, really?
Milk chocolates from Elizabeth Shore containing deliciously creamy fillings infused.
That's not
pure Russian vodka in four different flavors.
Russian.
That's how it started.
When will it end? I remember it now.
It all started with a chocolate.
With a chocolate.
Oh, see,
I would have kept that, but I would have got rid of the Dr. Dre.
Yeah, okay. I think
in retrospect,
you know, in retrospect, like, you know, it sounds like you're doing spoofs for our show now.
Oh,
I'm like,
God.
Your accents are normally much better than that. But
well, yeah, I don't know. What I mean, look, I you know, because of voiceovers, I was able to make a living.
Yeah, that's right.
So, but never doing that.
It made me want to go out and buy some Russian vodka.
But yeah. To be fair, I did go to London to further my acting career on the back of Japanese Story,
yep.
And I never got an acting job. And that may have been the reason I became a stand-up.
I feel like this CD might have let you down, mate. Yeah. I'm sorry about that.
Who's using CDs anymore?
It's a good
find.
You can keep that one.
Oh, now, can I borrow that for inspiration?
Yeah, sure.
I want to listen to it tonight.
Chocolate. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Now, you know, of course, there's been a lot of talk about Mr. Palmer and a lot of sort of vitriol. And I honestly believe that, you know, throwing love at things is a better way of dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've written a love song for Clive Palmer.
Are you going to say Clive's misunderstood in Western Australia?
Yeah, all that sort of stuff. You know, hopefully just... Now, we were waiting for the East, of course.
Sure.
It's always the East Coast, from legals, to clear that, because I'm told that Mr. Palmer is quite litigious.
Yeah, and, funny that, yeah.
And doesn't want to be upset or offended.
No, and the only lawyer I could afford would be Dennis Denuto from The Castle.
In a cheap suit.
So, as I haven't got clearance yet, I am going to play a version, but I've redacted anything that could be considered defamatory.
Oh, okay.
That's just smart and safe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
Clive. Clive. When you want your iron ore.
Oh, there you go.
That was excellent.
Yeah, how's your tinnitus? Well done, mate. I don't think you're in trouble.
No, I'm all right. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Mix 94.5.
Shut up. The boys on the radio. He's one of Frio's biggest stars. Here to give us the inside word on the Dockers, it's Rory Lobb for Crown with Clancy, Matt and Kimber on Mix 94.5.
Hey, it's like deja vu, isn't it, really?
Yeah, nearly wasn't on the radio.
G'day, Lobby. How are you, mate? You well?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good to hear you.
Rory, we're really glad we've got you so I can ask you the important questions. Did you watch The Bachelor last night?
I didn't, no, sorry.
Well, why not, mate?
I don't really get into those shows too much. I mean, the boys like talking about it a bit, so maybe I should.
More of an ABC landline man.
Sorry?
I'm more your Netflix type and watch shows on there, yeah.
I understand.
Hey, mate, great win on the weekend. Things are looking very good.
Yeah, I mean, good to get another win. I mean, that's two on the trot now. And, yeah, the boys are playing some good footy. I mean, especially our young midfielders, which are really stepping up and playing their role for the team, yeah.
That was only 3 years ago. We got Brayshaw and Chera, mate. They were just skinny kids, and now they're leading that midfield and getting opportunities with the likes of Michael Walters out.
Yeah, I think Andy's playing his 50th, and Chera plays 50th the other day.
Yep.
So Andy's 50th this week, and I'm sure that they're going to play 200-odd games the way that they're going. They're unreal off the field, and even better going on the field at the moment. Yeah.
Rory, it's easy to judge from the sidelines. We don't have the pressure of being in an AFL team, but the stutter kick, you knew this question was coming.
Of course.
The old Fred Flintstone, it's not the worst nickname you could get, but what is the plan to break the habit?
Obviously it's gone to another level. This is the worst I've ever done it. I've actually probably only missed 4 set shots. I'm just starting at getting a heap of set shots at the moment.
Yep.
But, I think I'm going to shorten it right down. Take 4 steps and kick it, because the shot that I had from outside 60 only took a few steps and I didn't really need the distance. So I'm just going to shorten it right up and maybe try to take 4 steps and have a kick. So, yeah, hopefully I can fix it that way.
Yeah, and I guess this is the really interesting thing. I know it's you we're talking about, so it's hard for you to analyse it, but, you know, it makes you understand that it's such a mental game. You guys are all fit, you're all highly skilled, and obviously this is something that's just sort of got into your head.
Yeah, so I think what happens now is I'm not focusing on the goals as much. Mm. And as soon as I mark it, I'm not nervous about kicking the goal. It's just I'm nervous about stuttering and not stuttering and doing all right.
Just, yep.
That's what happens. It just messes with your head. So at training, I don't stutter at all in front of goals. And I was like, yeah, I fixed it. And then I'll go into a game and I'll just, that's all I think about. So it's just, you know, breaking that. And once I hear a few about stuttering, which is, this is how I got rid of it last time. I kicked a few and finally got rid of the stutter. And then obviously it came back. But yeah, once I sort of shorten it up and kick a few and then it'll be gone again, I'm hoping.
If we put a bit of mashup music to it, though, it's quite cute. I think people are being a bit harsh.
It's like a cartoon. Mate, you just do it on the big stage. Hey, I saw a couple of legends of Fremantle Footy Club, Dave Mundy, 35 years of age, talking to his old mate Pav, 353 games. It's the man who threatens his record. And talk about Dave Mundy, Barra playing next year at 36, mate.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what he's planning, but yeah, he's playing some good footy still, so I'm sure he's going to go as long as he can and obviously threaten that record of Pavs. You know, Dave's obviously been a great player at this footy club and it'd be great to have him as that experience next year again.
Yeah, the eternal teenager. He's like Michael Tuck from the Hawthorn days. There you go.
Yeah.
And, mate, you've done the Gold Coast. You did that. You don't need to do that anymore. You're off to Cairns. Lovely part of the world. I've cried over a roast chicken in Cairns.
Don't ask.
Yeah, that's weird.
So how are you feeling about that?
I wish I could take my full drive up there. I mean, it's a really nice track to do, but won't be doing that. But, yeah, I mean, I haven't really been up there too much, so, you know, it'd be good to get to that part of the world and have a look. I mean, I don't know how long it'll be. I think it'll be about three or four weeks. So,
are you disappointed to be leaving here, though?
I think the part is coming back and doing the 2 weeks quarantine again.
Yeah.
I mean, this will be the third time for a few of those Melbourne boys, and I'm looking forward to it. But, I mean, it's part of to get this season finished, and we're happy to do what we can,
Well, to look forward to when you get back, Kimber's going to record every episode of The Bachelor for you, bud, so you'll be all good.
Sweet. I love the binge watch, so, yeah, that'd be great.
Well, mate, there's a park bench in Port Douglas with a little plaque that said this is where Matt Dictinsky cried with his chicken. Find that, just give it a nod.
Okay, no worries.
Yeah, a tribute to the lonely guy. Hey, Lobby, all the best on the weekend, mate, of course, against the Blues there at Optus.
Sweet, thank you.
Rory Lobb, of course, here at Mix 94.5. Action-packed sport at Crown. It's back. Live a little again and head to Crown Sports Bar for live sport, of course, 24/7.
Claresy, Matt and Kimber. Perth's best snorer with Claresy, Matt and Kimber on Mix 94.5.
It's driving me mad.
The search has been going on for a couple of weeks now for Perth's best snorer, or do we say the word worst in there?
It's definitely worst, but you've got to be a champion at it because, my goodness, did we get hundreds of entries.
We did, and one of those doing some nominating, Rachel from Margaret Rivers Online. Rachel, good morning and welcome. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Rachel, tell us about the monster you are living with.
Harsh.
Well, he is bigger and larger in life, but his snoring is definitely out of control.
Now, this is your husband, Elkie, correct?
Yes, that's right.
How long have you two been married, Rachel?
10 years.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And you've actually measured it to over 100 decibels? That's surely illegal. You call the cops when you hear that.
I think so.
Honestly, our neighbours across the road can hear him snoring sometimes.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's a neighbourhood thing. All right. He's a bit of Elkie in the community.
Oh, hello.
Okay. Into the elbow. That is a town rummer in Margaret River right there.
Oh, it's crazy.
Oh, Rachel, what a show-off too. It's just advertising. Listen to how well I'm sleeping, Rachel, while you're wide awake.
I know. You just turn it on.
And Elkie, is he Scandinavian blood? I mean, does he get into the aquavit? Is that why he's snoring so much?
No, you know, just loves his sleep.
Uh-huh.
So what's your solution, Rachel? Are you wearing earplugs? Are you sleeping in another room? Have you just gotten used to it? Has it become the dulcet sounds of Elkie's snore?
Yeah, look, I sort of will nudge and kick him. I haven't ever resorted to going to another room or unless he is in trouble, but he's FIFO, so he is away. So I do get a little break once in a while, but when he comes home after night shift, it's twice as bad.
Oh, yeah, and the workmates banging on the donga walls that go down well. So he cops it from everyone, the neighbours, you. The mates.
He gets it from everywhere. Yep. Kids, friends.
Hey, Elkie, fly in and F.O.
Hey, Rachel, good luck.
Everyone knows when he's home.
I bet they do.
There may be relief on the way for you, so good luck, Rachel.
Oh, wow, yeah, Rachel, so all much, the guys. Best. Well, look, you've got to vote, everyone. Mix.com.au. We've had the four finalists. You just need to say who you think Perth's best snorer is, and then they win a fantastic staycation.
I mean, I thought everyone would go for the dog, but Elkie's really stepped up.
Oh,
the game,
man, it's
he?
Bad.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's Perth's best snorer right here on Mix 94.5. Tomorrow's the day.
Yes, escape your snoring partner and unwind with the ultimate staycation at Crown.
Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Last night we saw the debut of the new series of The Bachelor Australia featuring Lachie Gilbert from Western Australia.
Yes, my wife was quite keen on Lachie, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm bored.
I ain't going to watch it again now.
I'm bored.
And yeah,
you guys
already?
Know,
night, one
you
night in.
Know I love The Bachelor. I usually watch it every season.
Right. Yes, you do.
Lachie's boring.
Okay. Oh.
He's got nothing.
Hello, clickbait.
Sorry.
Kimber says Lachie's boring.
Yeah, like being
I thought
hot,
he was quite nice.
Being hot's not enough.
Look,
yeah, but
well, maybe nice it. Is the problem. Is that the issue for you?
No, nice? You know me. I'm not chasing a bad boy or anything weird like that. I just think there's not much going on.
Okay. Isn't he a mountaineer and a bit of a macho man, runs a business, an adrenaline type business?
Cool.
Okay, doesn't work for you?
Doesn't make you a good dinner guest, I guess.
Okay, well, let's talk about the girls because they made the show last night and they made it awful.
Blimey. I mean, we always talk about this, like them being so mean to each other right from the get-go, it's awful.
Well, yeah, but I guess that's how they roll, don't they? I mean, the first 30 minutes, if you didn't see the show, was basically Lachie saying how hot all the women were and the women saying how hot Lachie was.
Yes.
Yeah. And how nervous they both were.
Yeah, there was basically the first 30 minutes, not much was happening. Yeah.
Well, there were a couple of those moments that you always get where the girls try to do something a bit different when they introduce themselves and you spend your time going, oh, no, don't do that.
Especially one waddling in and the penguin suit. What was going on there? Was it a producer?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. But I like that some of the girls didn't waste time. Like Laura turns up, she just says, I'm a snob, and then just starts laying it all out on the table.
You can't go to Bali.
Why is that?
It's like you won't come home alive. It's so dangerous.
No.
It's gross. Bali's gross. You literally can't even brush your teeth with the water that comes out of the tap. Why would you want to live there when you could live in Perth? So I swear to God, if he spends half his time in Bali, he could do that and I'll be waiting for him in Perth like a good housewife.
Oh, he runs his business in Bali.
Who uses water? You use Bintang.
Yeah. Brush your pigs.
Idiot.
What's going on? It wasn't the only thing that got our attention last night.
No, it certainly wasn't. Well, the one thing I did love, and I hope this carries on, is that for years, I've been advocating for the use of the word mole.
Oh, you're a mole. You're a mole.
There's nothing better than a you're a mole.
Flashback.
It's a good way to describe. It's a better way than using the B word.
Is it?
I think.
Do you think so?
Is it nicer or harsher?
I mole was more harsh.
Is it?
Well, I thought so.
Oh, I don't know now. Okay.
What about the girl who kept going on about? Well, there was someone who identified where Lachie was from before. But she did keep going on about her eyebrows.
Swear on your eyebrows that you didn't know. I've sworn on my eyebrows. That has to be true.
So we get to shave your eyebrows if he comes in here and he's like,
you
no,
can
not me.
Shave my eyebrows if he's not from Survivor.
She was obsessed not only with her eyebrows, which she banged on about, but also the fact that she said that Lachie, he's the guy from Survivor, but I didn't say it. And he admitted to us yesterday he was on Survivor.
Did you hear that kind of like cackling at the end?
Yeah.
That went through. That was the soundtrack for the show last night, was just horrible laughs, just horrible laughter. I got to 8:17 p.m. and I was out.
You're done.
I went to bed. I didn't see the big fight with the redhead.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see it all go down because I just couldn't handle anymore.
I ended up on a British drama. What happened in the fight, man?
A British drama? How dare you?
I was a bit over it.
Well, the poor redhead girl, I don't know. I mean, sometimes I do wonder about the duty of care for these people.
Yes.
Because then, you know, they're not necessarily media savvy. They go in there trying to, you know, boost their profile or whatever.
Yeah.
And this girl was, I think, intoxicated.
Right, okay.
But also seemed to be going quite distressed.
Oh, really?
And I did wonder, like, where's someone going, you know what, let's not film her anymore.
The duty of care is in 16 bottles of yellow champagne.
There's a lot of cheap champagne with a lot of young women.
And was there responsible service of alcohol going on? I don't think so.
I don't know. No, plenty of candles going on. Someone's got a good job.
You know what makes it responsible? If they put some sausage rolls on the table, then they say, well, we did provide the food, but you know. Know that no girl in a ball dress and with a face made up is going to eat a sausage roll.
Yeah.
Oh, and one final thing, if you didn't see it, across the world this was a first. The triple threat rose.
Oh, yes.
Oh, what does that get you?
What gives you triple time or something?
Yeah, yeah. Three chances of staying in.
Has he given it to anyone?
Yeah, he gave it to a dancer. She was quite sweet, actually.
Okay. All right. So she gets triple time with him.
She gets triple time with him. And Osha came in all guns blazing, but then he went back to...
Yeah,
you know,
because
the funeral director.
When Osha came out, they went, oh, it's like watching TV without the TV on when Osha walked into the room because he's so famous.
Yeah.
I look forward to Matt giving us recaps for the rest of the season because Claire and I are out.
The wife and I are into it.
7:30 tonight on 10. It's back, The Bachelor. Sure, Kimber.
Claire, Matt and Kimber.
We're talking about bad, poor customer behaviour. You know, these people are not your slaves. They're there to help you and serve you.
There's like a sense of entitlement to a lot of people, isn't there, where they think they can behave however they like.
When I was at drama school, I worked in a cafe in Sydney, and I remember one night I was taking an orange juice to a lady, and a drop fell into her hair.
Onto her head.
Literally a tiny drop, like a drip.
Literally, it wasn't a spill, it was a drip, you know, and the glasses were full and da-da-da-da, and she went off.
Oh, really?
And I'm looking, and you know, and I wasn't able to say anything, I was dumbfounded.
Yeah. All she wanted was an apology and you were just staring at her.
Well, no, I did say sorry, but she wanted the free meal and everything. And I thought, gee, your hair looks better than it ever has before.
Well, she preferred apple juice in her hair. Quite. That was a shampoo.
We want to know about your bad customer experience, what you've seen. Marie in Merengaroo, what did you see?
I've got 16. Morning, guys. I've got 16 years of stories to tell you.
Oh, no, really? Oh, okay. What do you got?
No, but the most recent was a lovely gentleman. Came into the store, wanted to refund or exchange 5 pairs of wet jeans that had just come out of the washing machine, but they were neatly folded. No receipt, no nothing. They didn't fit. And I said, look, I'm really sorry, but we can't take them back. They've been washed. They're wet.
Yeah.
You've got no proof of purchase. Well, then he proceeded to tell me what to do with the jeans and where to insert them.
Oh,
okay. Yep.
And then he started calling me an effing C.
Oh,
whoa!
Marie.
And then I went, no worries. And then I was thinking, oh, my God, the chafing of those jeans.
Yeah.
Payback.
It irritated him so much.
Oh, Marie, and you hope that you've got the support of a boss as well who will back you, because the worst thing is when someone behaves badly and you try and put them in their place and then your boss favours them and goes, oh, yep. I'll try and fix this. And you're like, no, I need your support.
Yeah, no, it has happened a few times, but yeah, certainly got some stories to tell, that's for sure.
Did he think he was doing you a favour by cleaning them before he gave them back to you?
Well, I did wonder. Yeah. I did wonder.
Wow,
Marie. Yeah.
And I can't believe the FSC.
It just comes to mind for that one. I couldn't have done it.
Marie, it's a height of rudeness when someone calls you a fruitcake. That's terrible.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And he knew me well.
Thanks,
Although,
Marie.
I'm a fruitcake. Have a great day.
You too.
You too. Yeah,
I do know the pain of not fitting into your jeans, but they're ones that I used to have.
Yeah. Didn't try and take it back.
For sure. Have a good one, guys.
See you, Marie.
Angela's in Beachborough. Angela, what bad customer behaviour have you seen?
I used to waitress at this hotel back home for a few years, and every Sunday this couple would come. They knew that the kitchen would close at 8:30, but they would arrive 10 minutes before. They knew fine what time the kitchen closed.
Yeah.
They'd always order the same thing, and by every week they'd still complain about the food and we'd have to recook it.
Oh,
and they were allowed to come back. This went on for years. Eventually, I think new owners took over and they banned them.
How bizarre. So they would order the same thing even though they didn't like it last time?
Yep. They would always order the same thing, yep, but would complain every time.
I mean, what are they getting out of that? What's some weird
sport.
Power thing?
No. On?
Also, it's really disturbing that they
minister.
Found each other.
He was what?
Yeah.
What was he, Angela?
Mr. Gag, Angela.
A minister.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
You know, you desperately hope that if someone's badly behaving, that the other person, the friend or the partner, will go, what are you doing? You're being a bell end. Like, you know, but when they find each other and they back each other in, that's terrible.
Yeah, that's not good. Hey, Angela, thanks for sharing the story. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. Minister having a whinge.
My Uncle Lou was notorious for complaining at restaurants.
Right.
And one time he complained that the oysters weren't on enough salt. You know how they come
right?
Yeah. And this was awesome. And to be fair, he did pay this. That they came back out, one oyster on a mountain of salt.
I love it.
Yeah.
That is sweet revenge.
Clearsy, Matt and Kimber.
Can we pretend that our housing prices have gone up?
Well, depending on which article you read, it's one of those.
It's a daily change.
Week, it does go yeah, up and down.
Real estate going awesome. Next week, not so great, guys.
Yeah, I wonder what's behind that. I mean, you can tell if there's a negative sort of take on things. You know, people in the industry will push it the other way. But we're just going by the latest report that we've seen on Perth Now, and that's despite what's going on with COVID, and we know that's affecting a lot of people in their finances with the economic downturn and a lot of people losing jobs and businesses. But WA home sellers are proving to be pretty stoked with the current prices, with some of the areas going well above asking price.
Oh,
and this is interesting because in you know, times like these, a lot of people will go, oh God, the uncertainty of jobs, and a lot of people who don't have financial security.
Yep.
But actually, for a lot of people, it went the other way. They went, this is a great time to buy because prices were low and because some people made a bit of extra money during this time.
Oh, did they?
Face
mask sellers.
Well, yeah the right industries did okay.
But apparently, pharmacy that was selling toilet rolls by the symbol.
They
made a bit of money.
They were pretty smart, actually. Yeah. Wrap it in the plastic. Apparently, Wanneroo home sellers are the happiest, according to Rate My Agent's price expectation report, saying that 35% of vendors are, well, pretty close to, you know, closing better deals than they expected. In Wanneroo.
Is it?
You know the suburb well, mate.
It's because of Leapfrogs.
That's a big number.
Leapfrogs Cafe.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Well, of course, they got the Speedway there and the show, the agricultural show.
Man, when it's on, that's right.
And if I had a dollar for every time my father-in-law said, you know, Matt, I could have bought in Wanneroo.
Could have, should have owned the whole suburb. Yeah. So Wanneroo is up there, closely followed by Stirling, 33% above the expected number that they're selling their properties for. Swan, Melville and Mandra, 10% above.
Okay, well, that's pretty good going.
That is good. I mean, I know nothing about real estate, but I was under the impression that Mandra had been doing it tough in that regard.
Well, yeah, because quite often you see these stories where they go, the houses are still selling and people are getting good numbers. They're normally in Mosman Park.
Yes.
And, you know, they're all in the Golden Triangle and you're like, well, people who've got money are still paying in the top end.
I think that the fancy Western suburbs are doing okay, to be honest. There's a lot of expats coming home and a few overseas people going, oh, that looks like the safest place on the planet to be.
Maybe Melville went up because they decided not to have the surf park.
Might have been that. And Mandra is a broad sweeping statement of an area because it's a very vast area now, isn't it?
So, yeah, there's the canals.
Yep.
Oh, good. I hope it works out for people.
Oh, by the way, the top 10 happiest areas in Australia, we don't even make the top 10. Because
do we not?
Number one is Canberra in the ACT.
All right. Move to Canberra, well, get good value.
That's because, I have heard because of obviously there's an influx of people, politicians, etc., public servants, they probably don't have enough houses there.
Maybe it's bureaucrats not losing their wage.
Hang on, I just sounded like I knew what I was talking about.
Take that back.
I have no idea.
Oh, that's real estate, mate. The story will change by next week.
Thank you, Mr. Hooker.
Mr. McGowan, the Premier, will join us after 7:30 this morning. I wonder who he's going to talk about.
Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Mix 94.5.
Yeah. Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist. What you gotta watch? She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jen King missed. Yeah, like Roxette says, it is a bit dangerous at the moment. The world feels a bit dangerous. And, you know, we see a lot of anger on the streets of the cities of our world, be it the independent protests in Hong Kong or Black Lives Matter protests across the world. And sometimes it can feel like we're on the brink of a revolution. Whatever happened to the revolution? You got sold and taken
away. Whatever happened to the revolution? Hooked on hooks.
Hey.
Well done.
And, you know, these protests, as we've seen, can be very violent and pretty scary. And law enforcement agencies around the planet have employed different methods to break it up. Sometimes they stand back and let it sort of burn itself out. Sometimes they go in boots and all, which doesn't end well. But it turns out all you need is a llama.
Oh.
Sorry?
God, is that the noise?
That's the noise.
Ooh, it's like part boiling kettle, part angry child.
It is a boiling kettle, isn't it?
Ugh.
You wouldn't think that would calm people down.
Well, it'd get me off the street protesting. That's horrible.
Well, Caesar McCool is the Caesar, or better known as Caesar the No Drama Llama.
Right.
Is a retired 6-year-old Argentine grand champion. Who's now working as a therapy llama or a llama activist. Generally, llamas are not very good with humans, but this one loves it. And Larry McCool, his owner, takes him into these protest areas. And one, they were at Portland protest, 10,000 people, flash bombs going off, all these people going crazy. He takes the llama in. All of a sudden, all these protesters stop, start patting his beautiful wool. And the cops are the same, you know, chanting, stomping, blah, blah, blah. They're stopping, taking selfies with him. And Caesar the llama calms the whole thing down.
Superstar.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't that brilliant?
Although, are the protesters the problem? Should have had the other guys on the other side patting the llama.
Well, the cops were as well. They all
put your shields down.
And yeah. when they're not protesting, he takes the llama to retirement homes and he stands out the front because obviously of COVID times. And he says that McCall says that he's a magical creature. He wish he could take some credit, but he's realizing that he's his guide. This
Aww.
Llama.
It's like he's brought Desmond Tutu or the Pope into the room. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I feel
good
like
on
I've
you,
misnamed
Caesar.
My dog too. I went with McGruff. I should have gone with McCool.
Oh, I like
McCool. Right, no.
It's not too late.
Me. Whatever happened to the
revolution? You've been listening to a Claresy, Matt and Kimber catch-up. For ABC Blind, stay in style up sale on now.